Case for argument is Sarhan v. Holder. Ms. Anderson.
That was the case that everyone was interested in, apparently. Lean case.
That's true.
I'm assuming my case isn't as interesting.
Yeah. They just don't know.
Tax liens are very interesting.
Apparently.
I was enthralled.
You can go ahead.
If it pleases the court. Good day, Your Honors. We're here today because a woman has been accused of misconduct. In this case, the misconduct is believed to be adultery. Supposedly, this misconduct has brought dishonor to her family based upon the societal norms of her country, Jordan. Due to this, her family, in this case her brother, feels the need to enact or to restore the family's honor, and the only way to do this and to make this happen is through an honor killing. Honor killings are rampant and prevalent among within Jordan. Recently, the New York Times on February 6th said that in 2009, 24 reports of honor killing occurred, and this is the only cases that were actually reported. So my client, Ms. Sarah Deasy, has had this accusation by her family and has had an actual discussion with her brother where he said to her that I will kill you if you return to Jordan, because he believes, whether rightly or wrongly, that she has committed the act of adultery and thereby dishonoring her family by the societal norms of Jordan. Now, she testified in front of the immigration judge to these facts. The immigration judge found her credible.
So could I just interject? As I understand from the State Department reports and the record and the other things, honor killings actually can be carried out only by a member of the family that's been dishonored. That's kind of the enforcement structure, if you will, of the code.
I believe that it is.
Because otherwise, some other family wouldn't vindicate the honor.
I do agree that in most instances, it is a family member that vindicates the honor, as you said. But I believe that the pressure or the request even to have it done can come from other sources. For instance, councils under Sharia law, various things like that. But in this instance, we're limited to the family member that has made the actual threat and that has said that it's his duty to do this based upon the pressure that he feels that his family has been dishonored and the need to restore that honor according to his community standards. So as I was saying,
you were saying the immigration judge accepts all of this testimony.
The immigration judge found Ms. Deasy and found her husband quite credible. There is no question of the credibility issue in that he found that these accusations did occur, that these threats did in fact occur. But where the IJ and the BIA didn't find was the particular social group that is required within a withholding claim, which is what my client here is making. What they found was that this was a personal issue, a personal vendetta, and that her social group was a group of one, that because of the fact that it's specifically her brother that is doing it, that her brother isn't interested in other women throughout Jordanian society, their actions or, you know, lack of actions. He's interested in this particular woman, and therefore she's only a member of this particular group. However, that completely turns on the head the issue that honor killing in Jordan is a very serious issue. There's lots of women that have been accused of misconduct and wrongdoing that are then the victims of honor killing. And additional to that is the fact that the Jordanian government has done little to nothing in order to protect these women. That people that have committed honor killings have had either no punishment at all or short incarcerations, a slap on the wrist.
Isn't there a different statutory regime for those murders as opposed to other murders?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
There was a provision that said if you were in a fit of fury or something like that, you got this one-year sentence, and the family can waive that down to 6 months or less, and most people who do this pretty much walk out.
I agree with the assessment that the individuals pretty much walk out. I do not recall the statute that, but I'm aware of that there is specific things that the country reports, bring to light as far as the type of punitive punishments that these individuals have. I mean, based upon various types of documentation regarding honor killings and the punishments in the United States, you could get a stronger sentence for harming a dog. So, and the only thing that at this time Jordan has either been able to do or has been willing to do to protect women that are a victim or a potential victim is to incarcerate them for long periods of time. The IJ himself said that this wasn't an ideal solution, but it's a solution. Why not? Why not put a potential victim in jail? Why not put a potential domestic violence woman in jail as well? I mean, that is what we're doing here. Or for that matter, a woman that is potentially a victim of female genital mutilation.
Are we reviewing the IJ's decision or the BIA?
There is some question about that. We have maintained that it's the BIA's decision that you are reviewing here today.
So the government BIA accept the IJ's decision?
They agreed with it, but they did not accept it as their decision.
They didn't utter the magic words.
Exactly.
Right?
Thank you. If I recall what they did say, and I can say that we agree with the immigration judge.
Right.
Yeah, those are the exact words that they used. But they did not.
On page 2, we agree with the immigration judge, and then they have 2 paragraphs.
It's a cursory review of the decision, I will admit, but they did not say that they adopted the decision.
Does that make any difference if we can see a statement of agreement? In other words, there are more details in the immigration judges.
There certainly are, but I believe that based upon the fact that they have failed to do that, that we are in a position only to be reviewing the BIA's decision.
I'm going to just say, I'm not sure that's where you want to be necessarily, because I don't see anything in the BIA's decision rejecting the IJ's credibility findings.
That's absolutely true.
Indeed, the BIA says we review under a clearly erroneous standard. As we know, in general, under clearly erroneous standards, we don't upset those.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And this is our position as of today. We briefed that issue in our reply brief to the government. But based upon the decision that the BIA made, and as you said, it clearly did not state that they adopted it, we were, based upon our understanding of the legal requirements and what we are here to do today, that we were arguing regarding the BIA's decision. So we would certainly be able to address the immigration judge's decision. We're capable of doing that, but that's what we had prepared here to do. My time is up, unless I can answer a few more questions.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson.
Okay. Thank you.
Blair? May it please the Court, Chris Fuller for the Attorney General.
If I can draw the court's attention to the administrative record at pages 212 and 213, I believe that there in the petitioner Sarah Dissey's testimony, I think, ultimately resolves the case. And on those pages...
Is that discussed by the immigration judge?
Yes, it's referred in the immigration judge's decision, making reference to the testimony.
What did he say?
Pardon me? The page in the administrative record is 212 and 213.
No, what page in the immigration judge's opinion?
The immigration judge makes a reference to the personal... I don't think that the actual page numbers are there. If that was a question, I misspoke. The reference in the administration judge's decision is the personal vendetta or personal motivation of the persecutor.
But that's absurd, of course.
Pardon me?
Merely to call it an honor killing reveals that it's a socially determined event, just like female genital mutilation or other socially determined events. It's not like she stole money from his store and he was angry at her on a personal level.
That's correct.
Social construct of the way women are to behave is why it's an honor killing and why there's stunningly frank testimony in this record of the fact that she will be killed by her brother Basim if she's sent back to Jordan.
Yeah, and the
her
question, and the ultimate
so,
question under the law, then. And,
so.
I'm sorry.
So she's not an N of one. She is part of a group of women who behave in a certain way, similar to either the FGM people or the women who want to dress in Western style in these countries.
Yeah, we're not here to defend the mores or the cultural circumstances in Jordan or for that matter anywhere else.
You are saying, though, that this is individual to her, and I'm saying that the fact that there's an adjective there, honor killing,
yes,
tells us already that this is a socially based norm that is being whose enforcement is delegated to both the Sharia councils, also usually the individual family members.
Well, we can address those issues, Your Honor, but that's not factual in the record. Ultimately, the facts show, with regard to the social norms, and Jordan is a country of 6 million people, and according to records in the State Department, there were 17 in 2007 reported honor crimes resulting in the death of the woman, and 25% of those, meaning 4 or 5, in a country of 6 million.
No, that's irrelevant.
It goes to the social mores.
You don't understand. No. You can have a very small minority that's being persecuted in a country.
Indeed.
That doesn't excuse it.
State
Department's report.
My point here is, Your Honor, that ultimately the law requires...
Minorities are much more likely to be persecuted than the majority.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed, and that's the circumstance. The question here is, what is the persecutor's motivation? I'm sorry, Your Honor?
A better argument?
The question here is, ultimately, what is Basim Dissi's, the brother's, motivation? The Supreme Court and Elias Zacharias.
What does that mean? I mean, that's like saying, if you have persecution of Jews in Germany or something in the Hitler period, what do you ask, the particular motivations of individuals? I mean, you say, well, I don't like anybody who's... I mean, suppose you have a country in which some group of people is made an outlaw group. Anyone can kill them because they're very disliked. Would you say that a person who was being threatened by someone, who was a member of this group and was being threatened by someone who had some personal motivation, would not be eligible for asylum? Even though the only reason that this person would act on his personal motivation was the outlaw status of the victim, which would eliminate any danger of punishment.
Well, it sounds like a mixed motive circumstance. There has to be some motive in the persecutor that is connected.
That's a preposterous argument, right? Because I mean, that's like saying you could that suppose they said, well, we're going to throw all these women into a we're going to throw them into a snake pit. The snakes will bite them. They're poisonous snakes. But the snakes will have personal motives for doing this. They won't be. They don't know about honor killings. That'd be personal. So you'd say, well, that's not persecution.
Well, with all respect, Your Honor, you called my argument preposterous. Snakes, of course, are not in that circumstance. I understand your point.
Don't our cases say that you can have mixed motives as long as
indeed,
one of them?
Indeed, that's my point, Your Honor, is that there must be at least some motive, and the Supreme Court said that in Elias Zacharias.
No,
and hence
you're wrong. But you're wrong, because what happens in this situation is the state, Jordan, withdraws legal protection from a group of very identifiable, you know, definitely a well-defined group of people. It withdraws protection. By doing that, it puts them in great danger from people with all sorts of motives, some of which may have nothing to do with the reason that this group does not have the protection of the society.
Well, I appreciate the remarks you've made, Your Honor, but those remarks are not founded on evidence in the record.
Yes, in they are. There's plenty of evidence in this record that Jordan does not punish people in their society who carry out honor killings. And indeed, Jordan incarcerates, thereby violating a different provision for either asylum or withholding of removal. It's not just your life that can be threatened. It's your freedom. And women accused of adultery in Jordanian society are deprived of their freedom if they aren't killed first. And the decision on the part of the society to leave this group of people, women accused of adultery, completely without social protection, is what a person like Basim then relies on when he carries out the killing. He knows he's essentially not going to be punished for it.
Well, I
so
respond.
And it's in the record, the State Department
yes,
records,
but
it, which I have.
But
right
there's also me. Evidence in the record, Your Honor. And remember, this is substantial evidence to support the board's decision. There's also evidence in the record that says every reported instance of an honor killing in Jordan was prosecuted criminally. 17 out of 17. 100% prosecution rate.
These two-month sentences.
And there's no evidence in the record to say that either, except to show that indeed
yes,
the record says that in some instances they receive some leniency. The record also shows, and I quote, and I take the court's attention to the record. This is in the Human Rights Watch report that's in the record at the beginning of page 514. The Human Rights Watch people interviewed the Jordanian judges, the prosecutor general, government officials, and they said in the Human Rights Report at page 543 of the record states as follows: the courts in Jordan were beginning to show more sensitivity towards victims. The prosecutor general is quoted as saying that 10 years ago, this is as of 2004,
Well, I'm going to read to you from the 2007 State Department report, which
yes.
is in the record. And there's a paragraph that says, during the year, authorities prosecuted all 17 reported instances of honor crimes that resulted in death of the victim, although activists reported that additional unreported cases likely occur. November UN Development Fund for Women study stated 25% of honor crime victims in the country were killed merely because they were suspected of an involvement in an illicit relationship and so on. In ordinary cases, the maximum penalty for first-degree murder is death, and the maximum penalty for second-degree murder is 15 years in prison. However, the law is lenient for perpetrators of honor crimes. While the defendants are almost universally found guilty, defendants often receive token sentences, with the charges often reduced from premeditated murder to manslaughter. Many men convicted of an honor crime received minimal prison sentences, usually no more than 6 months.
Yes.
So that's evidence. It's in the record. It was before the immigration judge. It was before the board.
Yes. And hence you're dealing with a nation of six. The question becomes, from my point, from our that we have
well,
to ask,
can spare a few
what
women?
What can the Jordanian government do?
Well, it can punish these as murder rather than as you know.
And so they prosecute them, and just like in every jurisdiction, some can.
The government should not be excommunicated.
Well, ultimately,
the Justice Department should occasionally exercise some. appeal discretion and not make these ridiculous arguments?
Well, Your Honor, we're driven by the law here. And if the law says that if ultimately the board, as the Attorney General's representative says, that this was an individual threat.
You completely miss the point about withholding protection, which creates an outlaw community that's vulnerable. I mean, what if Jordan said that no woman accused of adultery shall be permitted to have any medical attention, and as a result, a woman who has a serious disease dies? Now, would you say that because the germs did not have any discriminatory motive, that would not be?
No, of course not, Your Honor. Of course not. But the taking the women at the beginning.
That's this case.
Well, no, it's not.
Because of these 2 month sentences and the incarceration of the women victims.
But Your Honor, government protection only comes into play in this analysis if, in fact, there is persecution as on account of the membership in that group.
The withholding of protection to the members of the group.
But individual crimes, the government can't hold withhold protection.
That's the germs. Don't you understand?
Well, I understand your point, Your Honor. I just simply disagree with the premise.
Don't you understand if the government withholds protection from a group and makes it completely vulnerable, whether to personal private crime or germs or anything else, that's persecution.
That's contrary to law of the circuit, Your Honor. You have explained ultimately that, for example, individual crime in a country is not persecution. You've said that.
It's deliberate indifference to a known threat.
Well, what's the deliberate indifference? How do they protect? If in fact they prosecute, if in fact they go in front of judges, ultimately we're stuck with a circumstance that the law.
Your credibility has expired, so we'll take the case under advisement. Certainly no need for rebuttal. Next case.